아, 다가는 완전 어데 디바 샤비 주 니모토 주고네 아니 디바 샤바디 디고 마슈바레 어디네 자담 데네기 아 저기 다 데네기 디바 샤바이네 데네기 디비 샤바텔 데네 아노 저기 디바티에 간스타그레스네 데네 제와 체마 미야 동화 첨부 용어야 되게 내 중요한 용어야 마 주야다 되는 안들을 깨나야 안들이 된들이야 동화 묘미고 받아 안도스네 되네 안에 지가 안들을 에 된조자 된조를 된들 된조 된들 하라라 안에 고하나 고나와 잠기 안에 디바다제 제마치와 치마레 동화 묘모고 받네 용구레스 네 되네 잠에 대안에 에 가르레스네 네 양지 동화 된 균류부 용고에 되기네 양지 동화 야에 뒤통용 지려야 지 동화지 좋아지는 용모아 용그리스 네 가르레 양지 또 소식이 그 동화 싸우기는 용모아에 되는 용 용그리스 디바 다단데야 또 수요해야 세네가 상관 된시로와
Good morning. Last night we concluded looking at the presentation on the four opponent powers, the skillful means by which one purifies past and non-virtue that one has accumulated. And after concluding looking at the four opponent powers and going through an example meditation, we came to the section, the manner of purification, where we saw the way that or how purification can be experienced in the sense that if, for example, one has a particular karmic imprint that has the power to propel rebirth into the lower realms. Should one then strive to purify that, the way through purification, the way it can still ripen, is that one will still be born in the lower realms, but the severity of the suffering is greatly reduced. Or alternatively, one is still reborn in the lower realms, but the suffering of that realm is not experienced at all. So either one is born in a lower realm, but the severity of the suffering is much reduced because one is not born in far worse hell, far worse lower realm, or one does not experience the suffering of the lower realms at all. And the third alternative, third possibility, is that one is not born in the lower realms, but the suffering is experienced in a minor way in this very life. So these were some of the possibilities. Further possibilities would be that with this negative karmic imprint being greatly reduced through the power of the four opponent powers, then that when that imprint ripens, the duration is greatly reduced. So instead of suffering for a long period, one does so just for a short period. Or perhaps the suffering experience will never come about because the strength of the imprint has been reduced to such insignificance that it's unlikely to ever ripen. So therefore, in brief, the suffering result will be through the application of the four opponent powers, the suffering result will be less intense, shorter in duration, or reduced to insignificance.
ānā dēne dēn mā shūyā dēle dēne shūyā dēne dā dēyā ngā sā jōngān dēp tōp chēshūng dāng nyēmbō tōp shī sō mā sō dāng shūk chā mī chā dāng nē yō yūn rī nō sō yō kō nē yīn bē tā chī tō ngā bā mē dōs.
So returning to the text from where we concluded last night, it's in the middle of page 147 in the paragraph under the manner of purification. There is no categorical certainty here because it also depends on whether the power of the person during the purification is great or small, and on whether the four opponent powers are complete or incomplete, intense or not intense, or of long or short duration, and so on.
And the young said, the young didn't call the diva, or diva shamba, shower, do tava, dilla, talu, dilla, and data didn't in your air, said she, dust in the shoe, what, then it gets been a Andre, don't I chimbo, you know, did you choose your yada, and the jigger, or do I didn't in your moya that didn't in your air, said that dupa tasuti, naso solo, and this, the net young, that the net yoya di, carchig resina, the junghan. 정한 톱 치중당 님보 톱시 조마조다 슈자 미자다 균링 동서 요건이 임베스 지사다디 에 총중 첨보디 총주 차야다 ane yunung bo nyong gaya, chungtung nyong gaya da, ane dine minyong chaya de gimzang gare la na, di sulu ra leo sene, chongwa zamji dine chagiri besen cha pe ngeba yo ma re la re, chisanti chongkhan top chishung se vore da, dine ge, chongkhan top chishung se du, dine ge dikbo, nyingbo top shu ko ne, dikbo sha yun du, sha pe kapla so sol ya, top chishung se ne, kunlong top chishung se vore, ane kunlong da, kunlong ane, taba dung ye samba da, ane janju simbi kunye la wa la so pa da, dine tongba nye la so pa da, dine ge samba da, kunlong top chishung da, ane dine ge shuk chishung da ne, kebar yung re es, ane dine ka se ne, dikba da lu shuk chishung di, su su kunlong top chishung, da nyingbo top chishung, da dine ge da, jika nyingbo si da, dikba shabi kabla, su su ge nyamlan chaya ge rinpa tisi ura da, bine karu gomba ina, bine tongba nye gomba ya la so pa da, janju sim gomba ina, nyingbo di ge top chaya cha guru wa, ane di menbi ge da, shanda, ne su su ge da, je cha pu wa la so pa da, dine si na, nangjik du si na, da nyingbo top chong yu po da, kebra yung gure es, ane di, di si, ane di ya ma zi, ane, zo ma so se di, zo ma so se di da, nyingbo top shi cha zang, cha zang, ma zang, di chang wa ina, ane, shuk che yung gure es, je da, dine za, shuk zha ba da, zha da, mi zha, gyun ri, dine, nyamne je di na, gyun ri tong, su su ge, gyun ri lung, dine kebra yung gure es, ka zi, dine ge da, gaji le, kunlong da, kunlong shuk che wa, dine nyingbo gomna shuk che wa, dine, ane ga so re, nyamne che di le, gyun ri bu, dine che ba ina, ane di ge, di ba da ya de, sa, du ba da ya de, shuk che yo re, sa, maa da tu gu re, se gu da, dine ge, nyung yung ma du ma jine, di ba da ya de, de, chung wa yung gu re, se, che sa de, dine ge, jige, ga so, kunlong ya shuk che bu me ba, ane nyingbo top shi ya ma san wa, ane jige, dine ge, gyun ri bu ma je ba je, a dine di ba, sha gyo se, chuk shi gran, de, de, se ra che wa ina, diwa shaa waa reyde inaa da, dini diwa di maa daaya ki kalaha kura yesu urda. Chisa chikdo ngay ba mea si di, shaa waa zamgi diwa daaba ngay ba yo maa reyes, diwa daaba la dini ki top chishunga to ne diwa shuk chaya daaya da, dini nyomwa daaya da, dini khebar diri yesu urda. Da, nyewa di jikba re nyembo, kunlo shuk chimba, kaansi le zunju bezu shuk chakwa chaya chorwa da,
So the Tibetan starts with a linking word, linking this final lengthy part to what came above, so something like moreover. And so this is showing that what Lama Tsongkhapa is writing here relates to what has just been presented above, which is that when one purifies by means of the four opponent powers, then the karmic imprint is likely to be reduced. But reduced in its capacity to either ripen or should it ripen in terms in terms of the capacity of the potential result, that too can be reduced. But how much so? Well, as now it continues to explain, there is no categorical certainty. In other words, it is not certain that if one applies the four opponent powers, the ripening result will change from this to that. What the change will necessarily be, because it also depends on whether the power of the person during the purification is great or small. So this then particularly refers to the motivation of the person, because the power of the person, of course, doesn't refer to anything physical, but the power of the motivation. So if the motivation is one of, I do not want to suffer, and one is still very much though, one's understanding of suffering is what one experiences in this life. The sufferings of this life are still what dominates one. Then the strength of the motivation is going to be comparatively limited. One still may be purifying or engaging in the four opponent powers of sincerity, but if one has a broader view, looking beyond this life to future lives, one is likely to have a more a powerful motivation, be of greater strength. And certainly, if one is relating to the non-virtue that one is wanting to purify now through the lens of, this is impeding my liberation from cyclic existence or my attainment of Buddhahood, then the motivation is going to be much stronger. The practitioner will have greater mental power. And likewise, if the person is relating to their purification through the lens of these negative imprints on my continuum hinder my spiritual development and therefore hinder my capacity to be of meaningful benefit to others. This too, of such a motivation then, is one that is, again, of far greater power. So therefore, when we see here, the power of the person during the purification is great or small, depends on whether their motivation is lesser or greater. And this also relates to what we see a little further on, intense or not intense. If the way the motivation arises within one is heartfelt, it will be intense. And that will make a great difference in terms of how much purification is done. And in the sentence before, or the segment before, whether the four opponent powers are complete or incomplete, this too makes a great difference. If one only utilizes some of the opponent powers, the strength will be far less than if one utilizes all four. And then the final point is the duration. So if one purifies once, and maybe quite quickly, the effect is going to be quite less than if one does so with an intense and powerful motivation, with four opponent powers complete, over a more extensive period. And likewise, within all of this, we also can relate to what something we looked at last night. If one is merely reciting words, going through a sadhana, for example, merely reciting words, then it's not likely that much purification will follow. So it really depends on many factors here, many interlinked factors, how much purification will come through one's effort. Where we see here whether the four opponent powers are complete or incomplete, whilst this refers to whether all four are complete or not, in particular, whether one has generated sincere regret or not. Because as we saw last night and was mentioned last week too, the opponent power of regret or remorse is of supreme importance to the extent that one sincerely regrets what one has said or done with the resulting wish arising. I wish I had never done that. To the extent that that arises within oneself, one's regret is sincere. And if one's regret is sincere, then one's restraint, that the mind of ethics, the power of turning away from further faults, that will be sincere. So therefore, regret in particular, that opponent power, is of great importance. Regret too impacts on the quality with which one will apply the antidotes, with which one will go for refuge, generate body cheats, and so forth. So it is of particular importance. And moreover, when one generates regret, there are different ways of generating regret. One can merely recall something that you feel bad about, and regret will arise. But to make regret as powerful as is possible, one needs to utilize reasoning. And this is the same with every mind in the lamrim. By utilizing reasoning, it will arise in a way that is far more transformative than if one merely recalls what one has, in this case, a negativity one has done. Because one will understand more clearly why it was harmful, what about it was so harmful, and then the various a stream of events that led one to acting or speaking in a particular way. And this, based on reasoning, the suffering that comes to yourself, to others, and this, and future lives, and so forth, will aid one's restraint because of the quality of the mind of regret being greater. So therefore, in brief, Regret is of primary importance amongst the opponent powers, and in particular, it should be generated based on reasoning. Now I come to a new part, subpart within the manner of purification, where we come to understand how purification works in relation to some of the statements presented before. So on page 121, it was presented how karma is certain. In the general presentation of karmic cause and effect, was presented that karma you have met will not dissipate. And then later on page 137, we looked at how karma is definite to ripen and karma that is not definite to ripen. So here, the Lama Tsongkhapa presents how purification relates to karma that is definite to ripen, and also in relation to the statement that if a cause is accumulated, the result will follow in the general presentation on karma. So reading from the text, the statement in the sutras and the Vinaya that actions will never be lost, even in 100 eons. So here this is showing that karma that one has accumulated will be experienced. The cause is accumulated, the result will follow. That karma is definite. So here we've been reminded of what we've looked at in this chapter, and it's been backed up by quotes from both Sutra and also the Vinaya, where it's stated that if causes are accumulated, the result will follow. And if the causes are fully accumulated, it is certain, it is definite that the result will follow. And this is something not just stated in this text, but it was stated by the Buddha as well. So surely, in relation to this, there is a certain karmic imprint that cannot be reduced or eradicated through purification.
Could gomba meba la gongi yi. Ani, dupshi nyingbi sheba tari jangna ni nyungwe jang ndabar gyedong trewa le sungso os. Chesa da dadidi sunga di gaba gyar yang da segimare sunga di nyingbo dupshi gwenye masa ma jangba yi na, ani, le di git.
Reading from the beginning of the paragraph, the statement in the sutras in the Vinaya that actions will never be lost even in 100 eons implies if the antidotes of the four powers are not cultivated. So what we saw earlier on page 121 is that if the causes are accumulated, they're not going to naturally weaken over time. And that is certainly the case. But if the four opponent powers are applied, then they will weaken, maybe even weaken so significantly they cannot ripen. So therefore, we have the meaning of implies if the antidotes for the four opponent powers are not cultivated. And then furthermore, also commentary on the perfection of wisdom in 8,000 lines says that if purified in accordance with the explanations, even karma certain to be experienced is purified through the antidote of the four opponent powers. So here is another sutra quotation which says that we have the presentation on page 137 of karma that is certain or not certain to be experienced. Even karma that is certain to be experienced can be purified by relying on the four opponent powers. Further quotation is provided from Blaze of Reasoning, which says that once you have thus, further explanation from there, once you have thus weakened the potential to bring forth a fully ripened effect by means of confession and the resolve to exercise restraint, that's two of the opponent powers, and the like, reply meaning the others, the fully ripened effect will not come about even if other conditions are met. Conversely, wrong views and anger can similarly overpower the roots of virtue. Looking at this statement in relation to the Blaze of Reason, once you have thus weakened the potential to bring forth a fully ripened effect, so this ties to what was presented in the paragraph above, that it's not certain that a non-virtuous karmic imprint will be completely eradicated so as it does not exist on the continuum anymore. And why is that not certain? Well, the reasons mentioned depends on the quality of the motivation of the person engaging in purification. It depends on the intensity of their purification, the duration of the purification, whether the opponent powers are complete, and so forth. So it's not certain that the karmic imprint will be completely eradicated. However, it can be weakened either slightly or a significant amount, again, depending on the quality of the motivation of the person engaging in purification. So this is the meaning of once you have thus weakened, because again, it may be weakened. How much is uncertain, but it is likely to be weakened through the application of all four opponent powers. The potential to bring forth a fully ripened effect by means of confession and the resolve to exercise restraint and the like. So it's referring to all four opponent powers being utilized. The fully ripened effect will not come about even if the ripening conditions for it are met.
Dabine anzuge saben rojer wadat bine de nyugu ma saben di tok tok ri chi ya de saben de tap na ki gor wa che da de saben di pe chik me ba se chana je wo ke as yo yo mar wa che da de saben di me ba ma se na saben di pa me dam na cha ji de si me ge shu ki de ge shu ki ge je ko ni ba di chik nyam so wa ne de saben sa wa tap cha ne saben di yo de ne ko nyu ge ge ni ba di nyam cha re 제가 디니게 사본듭사 마다 데리아 안에 주다 류다 안지 가르체베네 제부께 되어야 말아 그래서 그 제부께 누베 냠바레 제가 제 사다 주다 류다 죄 차산 창화레 되네 제부께 비오 말아와 온베 디나신 아 제 디바 사셰비 디베 레디 안님 보도 피오네 도시네 샤제 샤바이나 안 디니게 뱃 코란 사본 디베 레디 메바스 마토바네야 안에 반
So if we utilize it as an illustration, that of planting a seed in soil and whether it will sprout into a plant or not. It depends on whether the ripening conditions for that seed are fully accumulated or not. And if they are, it will ripen. However, if that seed had been removed, in other words, like a karmic imprint completely eradicated, there would be nothing that could ripen, even if all the conditions are there. But what's much more likely through purification is it can be likened to a seed that has been damaged or harmed. And depending on the quality of the purification, will result in that seed being slightly harmed or damaged beyond use. So if it has been, the four opponent powers have been well applied, that seed has been so damaged, then even if it meets all the ripening conditions, such as being planted in excellent soil, the warmth is just right, the moisture is just right, it will still be unable to sprout.
Ah. 대신도 말 로터다 아니 지게 콘드기 쫌바 인자 니기 제부 아니 대원여야디 견현다 체베네 용어 말레스 디나 쇼도 신도 거바나 송여레스 거레 아 도베 바바나 송여레스 디가와 송여레스 도베 바바나 디네 송여레스 로터에 게 로터다 콘드기 게제 쫌바 인나 디니 게제 디기 제부 안 대화디
Reasoning also states, now the final line, conversely, wrong views and anger can similarly overpower the roots of virtue. So thus far, we have been focused on how to purify, therefore the focus has been on purifying non-virtuous imprints. However, virtuous karmic imprints can also be harmed by anger or wrong views. And just to say, as a translator, this word overpowers, it's a good translation of the word, in other texts you may come across as destroy. That's and the word can be translated in that way, but in this context, overpower or harmed is a better translation. Want to now just say a little about the kind of mental attitude to have towards the process of purification. Because in the process of purification, it necessarily requires focusing on non-virtue, focusing on faults, focusing on things one has done wrong, generating regret for one's own way of thinking, acting, and speaking. So the way of thinking to have as a skillful practitioner is within the, maybe you could say, within the warm embrace of refuge. One recognizes that the Buddha attained his complete enlightenment for the sake of ordinary suffering beings just like myself. Beings who yearn for happiness, but are so confused by their ignorance that they keep creating the causes for further suffering. Despite wanting happiness, we keep creating causes for suffering and destroying our causes for happiness. Yet, for people such as myself, the Buddha appeared in the world and taught the Dharma. And in dependence on those teachings, countless beings have become great beings themselves, such as Lama Tsongkhapa, who has presented these teachings in a way that's easily accessible, that are manageable in the sense that even very simple people like ourselves, ordinary people like ourselves, we can cultivate these qualities within. So therefore, we are actually incredibly fortunate. We are amongst, you could say, the handful of beings in this world who really have a fortunate life. In that, we, through this presentation, have come to understand what are the causes for happiness and the causes for suffering. And we've come to understand also the method to train in order to attain lasting happiness. And we've been taught this by someone who once was an ordinary being, but through cultivating these teachings within their own continuum, came to become enter the paths, become an Arya Bodhisattva, become a Buddha, and therefore perfectly understands where we are. We have an aspiration for happiness. Now we have developed an aspiration for Buddhahood, but we are still, as ordinary beings, will continue to create non-virtue. Therefore, our situation looked at from a limited perspective is really quite dire. Whilst we may have a desire to become bodhisattvas and Buddhas, we keep creating non-virtue, and we have this big store of non-virtue on our continuum already. But our situation, when looked at realistically, is not dire, because we've been taught a skillful method that we can easily employ to radically transform our situation. So the reality is, between now and the attainment of the Arya paths, we will continue to create non-virtue. But by applying the four opponent powers repeatedly and skillfully, we will be able to turn away from non-virtue, accruing ever less as we purify past non-virtue and change how we think, change who we really are, through changing our way of thinking. And in this way, our situation is not hopeless, because we have all the tools required. So therefore, when one engages in purification, it should be with a joyous mind. The mind of regret, this of course is not necessarily joyous, but the result of one's purification should be a strength of mind, a confidence, a joyful attitude of, fantastic, I have purified. So this is the skillful attitude by which one should engage in purification. And it's a skillful attitude because it comes about independence on a broad understanding of what one has been taught.
确实是这么把，是结果结成现在，上一结束这么把，确实是这么把，是上一属于确定的真情不一嘛这样，那么上一的个真情嘛，上一就是这么确认嘛，就是这么把现在，我都先结果了，今天在那么多，都什么的呢？哎，给我把他们把啥结果了？
And a further skillful way to think, and I encourage you to think in this way regularly so that it becomes something that naturally arises in one's mind, is to recognize our great good fortune as well as the tremendous kindness of so many others. So Buddha Shakyamuni, we can have confidence in his teachings because what he taught came about independence on his own experience. It wasn't that he came across a set of teachings that made some sense to him and therefore he read them out for others to hear, but he taught what had worked for him over countless lifetimes, how he had radically transformed his mind. That method, those techniques, he taught. So we know from his experience it worked. And we know from the intervening millennia, countless great practitioners, first in ancient India, they took those teachings and cultivated them within their own mind. So the great masters from Nalanda Monastery, such as Nagarjuna and so forth, incredible beings who, in dependence on the Buddhist teachings and the lineage of teachers who kept them alive and vibrant by developing them within, taught them on. And then the great translators from Tibet, who at great hardship and personal cost travel through the Himalayas from the land of snows to the land of great heat. And they took the Dharma, translated it into a new form of language that they had devised so that it could be brought to Tibet. And through their endeavors, as well as those who encouraged and helped support them to do so, the presentation of the Dharma by means of the Nalanda tradition was kept alive for a further millennia and a half in Tibet. It was not lost. And it was kept alive there through the lineage from the Buddha, through the great masters in India, the translators bring it across to Tibet, and then centuries of incredible teachers from the various traditions, initially the old school, that of the Nyingma, and the various newer translation schools of the Sakya and the Kagyu and the Gelug. And so all these great masters who made effort to learn the words of the Buddha and cultivate them within their own mind have kept the teachings alive and vibrant within old Tibet, and thereby now through exile has been made readily available throughout the world. So recognizing where we are in terms of a recipient of the kindness of so many, of this entire lineage from the Buddha and his a great effort over countless lifetimes, and the great effort of innumerable practitioners from the time of the Buddha to the present day. Being aware of that kindness, we can recognize that we are actually supported. Our process of mental transformation, which you may often find frustrating or difficult, we are actually supported. We are supported by this broad community with this deep lineage that is supporting us now. So that's one benefit of recalling the kindness of others in this context, that we know we're not alone, we are supported by others. A second benefit is we recognize that we actually have a responsibility to repay this kindness. We have the same responsibility that every practitioner throughout 2.5 millennia have fulfilled. They have received the teachings, recognized their great fortune, recognize the kindness of others who have kept these teachings alive and vibrant, and they have repaid and they have repaid that kindness in the most meaningful of ways. Sorry, through developing their teachings within their own continuum and helping others to do so as well. And this is something we all in our own way do so here for each other. In that, the very fact that we come together, this dependence arising, is dependent on everyone in this room individually, as well as many not in this room over the preceding decades. And when we think of, in particular, at the times of great uncertainty in the Dharma, for example, when it was transmitted from one culture to the next, or moving into exile, then it was kept alive because of people clearly understanding its value. It wasn't at all, especially at those times, something that was kept alive because people wanted to be famous or they wanted a financial reward. They had a genuine motivation through recognizing its great value and potential to be of incredible benefit. And throughout this time of the Dharma being kept alive and shared, the dominant motivation was not of reputation and prestige and being well thought of and being liked or financial comfort, financial reward, but it was to be of benefit, to transform one's own mind so that one can be of ever more benefit. And we find today that the Dharma in our modern world is, in some instances, such as these teachings here, it's freely offered. And there's very little in our world that is freely offered. What is seen of value, seen to have benefit, is commoditized, is sold. A profit is made from that. And sometimes income is required because there are expenses. And what we find in our Dharma world in general is that things are either freely offered or offered for a small amount just to cover expenses, and that is required. But in our world, this is a very uncommon attitude. And this attitude comes about independence on recognizing the great value of the Dharma. The great value in terms of what it can bring to each individual, but also to others. So therefore, I encourage you to recall the incomparable kindness of our founder teacher of the Buddha, to recall the incredible benefits that comes from his teachings, and recall the great kindness of the entire lineage of practitioners from the Buddha. In fact, one can even go back before the Buddha to those interacting with the being who would go on to be the Buddha, right up to our present day. And here include our community and those who indirectly support us here and directly support us here. It's independence on everyone's endeavors that we have this incredible opportunity here. And through this opportunity, we can accumulate great merit and radically transform our minds. And by thinking this way, by thinking in the way here, recalling the kindness of others, you yourself will accumulate great merit. But not only that, the motivation to contribute, to repay the kindness will grow. And that will push you forward to let go of everything that currently dominates one's mind that has no real importance, and to embrace that which does have meaning, that which is has real value.
ane jinga jugi jagar khepi pandu tigile rali gore jagar kheru pandu tigi sonya dia dia ane chumnende san yu chumnende son ba de jena da du su singa de jik tien de se de ngan ju gi yu nyem na che de jik che le ngan ju nyem na che gi yu nyem na che chu she jang du kwe ba sa yer de na su ber mi che da ane jinga jugi la me she lia tien de dia ane ya jawr mi che le tien de ba jawr mi che de ane go ma nam ji ki bue ki kha ba la ma nam le tien de ba And Bergy Kavalama de Gina, and Yahar, and the Pandu Pandu Pandita Tisolia, it all to sit in Java. Yah Pandu de Gichinum de Sumedia, Tawa, Sanyajim de Lutis, Dindiba, Sanyajim de Gichumena, Yah Pandu de Gitinigi Matisha Yadio Marva. Says I do sin a some died you, that do sit in the Chichili din, some died the tinted that chew you. Jungung, as a hand, Nangbe, Chigi, Jungu, Tartu Zawa, that number Sanya Jimnidi, said Zawa, Sanya the two words, said Denis Samdana Show. Denis Samdavena, Langan Jugi getting chisu Jango do, and the Lamy getting chisu, the Lama, Lamation, and Severim Chu getting chisu to bear, Jimato getting chimbu, getting jar. Dig getting Jango, and there's Jawam Shelly getting back getting Zachim, getting chimuridos. Denis Samdadu, Nelama Goman and Jeda, Dushin and Chirim Chela Sopan, Gilufa Zivana. どうしてラムコマンに来てたやあ、で、すぐパーサムダンチ店でサムダイド。で、すぐじゃん、あの、やがパンド、パンドた。なんてパンド中店だそうば、で、それ、しゅんで店でも落ちちゃばじゃんや、パンド中店ペーパーで来てんちんぼれす。だ、パンド中店でやちょで、2月で、パンドじゃ、おそやらで、それとばせ。さ、3月で、です。じゃ、だ、3月で、店ビゲンがあるとりゃ、ディギュジュや、ドンアセゲ、ザワザワでだ。ザワタルトで、店ばさんや、チュンでんでです。じゃ、どうしてなんで、とサムダイな。 で、ラマダ、ギブラマダ、ザワサンジェダ、チェソドシェゲテンチェスチェンバシャヨンで、デソリア、ゲテン、ゲテンチェンボチェンバイナ、ペアポレスピンガテテハキゴロワ、チェデバチェナ、グジェブリゴロワ、チェザネデバチェア、グジェブチェア、デジクラマナムジェゲテンチェア、ジネジザラマダ、ティネゲ、ドシェンジェアドゥ、デラマチェスチェンバ、アネ、ゲテンチェスチェンバ。
As you talk about this in the same context, the situation of Tibetan Buddhism specifically, because that's a form of Buddhism that I'm most familiar with. So here we can recall just how incredibly fortunate we are that His Holiness was in the position he was in Tibet when the communist Chinese took over the country, because he had the quality of being, therefore had the foresight to know when to flee to India. And we sitting here receive so much benefit from that decision. Because His Holiness fled to India, he was immediately accompanied and certainly followed immediately by a great number of lamas and geshis who otherwise would not have left Tibet. They would not have left His Holiness. So his decision ensured that despite the hardships of reestablishing the Dharma in exile, it could be reestablished, and it, through his efforts, it was reestablished. So by that decision and his resulting endeavors to encourage and guide others, the Dharma was reestablished in exile, and great beings were able to spread around our world, bringing the Dharma to others who in this life would otherwise have had no access to it. So here, again, looking through the lens of our own experience, and if you have experience more broadly, you can recall them. But we think particularly of students of His Holiness, such as Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, how through their incredible qualities and the expression of those incredible qualities, the Dharma has been established in many places, including here in the bush in regional Victoria, where we come to directly receive benefits. And this is, and this reflection can be done by people in their Dharma centers throughout our world, both within their Kunti and the other various Dharma traditions. And here we can recognize the incredible role that His Holiness played in our life, directly in our life. And here, when we think of this lineage, so it spoke about His Holiness and His endeavors, kept bringing forth to benefit in this life. His Holiness became the being He is, independence on an incredible line of teachers before Him. So He had the teachers that He had in this particular life, as well as the line of teachers He would have encountered in previous rebirths, going back to Lama Tsongkhapa and going back to the Pandits in India, who all either directly or indirectly have helped create the environment that great beings will be reborn in. And here, so we can take, look at our present situation. We can go back through our own teachers to His Holiness, back throughout the great masters of ancient, the old Tibet, and to the great masters then in Nalanda, and going back to the Buddha himself. So we can recognize how interdependent we are, how our current position, our current incredibly fortunate position, is dependent on so many. So I encourage you to think in this way. And this is a worthwhile way to think. You don't need to be sitting quietly in your room. You can think about this while you're going about one's various tasks in the day. It's a worthwhile way to think rather than on the various comings and goings in the world. Because by thinking in this way, one comes to appreciate and value the situation that we have. We don't take it for granted. We don't see it as ordinary. And we hopefully challenge this presumption of, oh, hopefully next life I will do better. We need to do the best we can right now, in this very life. Moreover, by thinking like this, through recognizing the great kindness of others and how we benefit, we also recognize our own individual responsibility. Because whilst we are, in English you'd say, cogs in the wheel, we are very small cogs in this overall wheel of the various bodhisattvas and the enlightened activities. We are all a part in this interdependence, that through our own endeavors, we enable others to be able to experience these teachings. So we recognize that this is the way we get to repay the kindness of our teachers, and we get to value and appreciate our fellow practitioners ever more, recognizing that independence on their mere presence, I also get to come here. So I encourage you to think like this often. Recall the kindness of the Buddha, the great benefit of the teachings, the great kindness of the lineage of both the masters that have kept the teachings alive and vibrant, as well as all the other ordinary practitioners and people around them who helped support them in their spiritual development, right up to our current situation today and those around us here. You can do this reflection starting with the Buddha moving forward, starting with our current teachers moving back. And in this way, one can really appreciate what we have. And it helps to ensure that we utilize what remains of this life well.
That was Yungurang, the Nevig, never Dava said, the Diva Dava said, the Nyungore, the Namone, and the Diva Macheva, and then because the same Diva Dava, then Dava said, and Sangmaru Chagor, Sangmas, Gora, just the Namone, Diva Macheva, and Diva Diva Dava Chagore. And the Diva Cheva in there, Nimbo to you when the Diva Shava, and never seven, not Diva Dava said, what Diva Dava said, Dava said, Nyungor, whatever.
Purification, now returning to purification, this is done in two directions. One, in relation to karmic imprints already abiding on our continuum, so the non-virtues performed earlier in this life and lives previous to this, as well as to the non-virtues that we recall accumulating perhaps right today and yesterday, the more recent ones. So that the purification is directed both to what one has done in the past, as well as to what's more recent. And it's both what's been directed is both a purification and a determination to change the future trajectory.
So
we probably sitting here in a position, hopefully, where we have not killed a fellow human being. So this is probably not something that we have to purify. So there's, we could say there's probably quite a number of very bad non-virtues that we haven't engaged in. So we hear about I think they're called immediate retribution. So like killing one's parents, killing an arhat, and killing bodhisattvas. So these kinds of grave non-virtues, we almost certainly do not have on our continuum, and therefore we do not have to purify. What's most likely to be dominant, the imprints most likely to be prevalent on one's continuum are those that have been created through anger, through attachments, through lying and deceiving others. These we probably have many of. Returning to the text at the very bottom of page 147, although through confession and the resolve to exercise restraint, you may be able to purify karma so that none at all remains. And the text continues. There is still a big difference. There's still a big difference between the purity of not being tainted by faults from the beginning. So it's a little difficult because the structure of the English sentence in the Tibetan doesn't match so well. When the translation is correct, it's just the word order. So the Tibetan is literally first having through fault not tainted one's continuum. So that's the first part. First through fault, not having tainted one's continuum. So what's been said thus far is that whilst the non-virtue one has done can be purified, and it goes on here, there is a great difference between the purity of not being tainted by faults from the beginning and the purity after confession. So in other words, as I mentioned, there are a number of non-virtues probably none of us have done, and not in this life, nor have on our continuum, the killing of our parents, the killing of an arhat, maybe even killing a human being. So these may not be abiding on our continuum at all. And But there are others, other negativities, such as from anger and attachments and so forth, that we certainly have done and do need to be purified. So there's a great difference between needing having purified a misdeed and never having done that misdeed in the first place. So here the difference is vast. So even if one can purify something, if one had never done it in the first place, there is a vast difference. This vast difference is then explained through an illustration. For example, Bodhisattva Levels says that if a root downfall has occurred, it can be restored by taking the Bodhisattva vow again, but it will be impossible to reach the first ground in this life. So the Bodhisattva level is presenting that there's a vast difference between a Bodhisattva who has taken the vows of the Bodhisattva and is guarding them in an excellent manner, living in accordance with them and not therefore transgressing them, and a Bodhisattva who has committed a root downfall. Whilst a Bodhisattva has committed this downfall, can purify their downfall by receiving the vows again. They are greatly spiritually impeded. They will not, in that life, come to realize emptiness directly. They will not come to attain the Bodhisattva path of seeing, or the first ground in this life. So the example then is that two ordinary bodhisattvas, if one lives within the restraints, the ethical restraints of the bodhisattva, and thereby does not commit a root downfall, they can come to attain the bodhisattva path of seeing in this very life. But another bodhisattva, perhaps at a similar stage or development, should they infract their root downfalls, their vows, and commit a root downfall, whilst they can purify that by receiving the vows again, their spiritual development will be impeded, and they will not be able to realize emptiness directly in this life. They will not attain the bodhisattva path of seeing, or the first bodhisattva ground in this life.
Chuzi chaha yana jele tigre, yana chuzi chik jele de, kor mene suya ele, Günün lügurva cezan gün gazerin akovene ko celetele ma ko gurva cezade mücizi çizici koyene hani ko maliye de şu sums gurmadı çizini nalo le tömere da çizici çagar kovene ko çizici çagar pa ko celete vare çizini nalo le tömere va cezan gün ma gün şo bayne gün şine sögüyor da gün me se vare gün me ça vare de yine beni düzü tatale etuya çizini nalo la etuya me vare ko me din madre tirwa bedin aje çagdu vada.
This can be likened if travelling to Melbourne. We know from here it would probably take a couple of hours and one will arrive in Melbourne. But should one have a puncture on the way? Well, a puncture we know we can repair. We've got hopefully a spare with air in it and we can repair our puncture. But it will take time and afterwards one will need to drive more slowly. One will still arrive at Melbourne, but one will arrive much later than if one had not had a puncture. So it's very clear, at the outset of one's journey, one does one's best to ensure that one is prepared so that one doesn't have any obstacles like having a puncture. It would mean the journey goes more easily and much more quickly. So therefore, in a similar manner, whilst non-virtues can be purified, they do delay one. They do delay one's spiritual development. Therefore, they are best averted. Further illustration is given, a further example. Also, the gathering of the thread sutra says that once the bad action of abandoning the Dharma, which is explained in that sutra, has occurred, if one confesses it 3 times every day for 7 years, the bad action will be purified. But still, it will take 10 eons, even at the quickest, to attain the level of forbearance on the path of preparation. So this illustration would refer to a bodhisattva on the path of accumulation. If they commit the misdeed or the non-virtue of abandoning the Dharma, having come to recognize that, to generate a sincere and profound regret, they will engage in extensive purification. And we see this being explained in terms of the extensive purification. 3 times in the daytime, 3 times, three times every day for 7 years. So doing purification practice, It's dedicated to this one downfall 3 times every day for 7 years. They can purify that downfall. So it has been purified. But their spiritual development is greatly delayed. They will remain on the path of accumulation for an extensive period and before they eventually achieve the path of preparation. And even when they achieve the second of the 5 paths, the path of preparation, to progress through its 4 stages will be greatly delayed. And as it says here, before them to reach the 3rd of the 4 stages on the path of preparation, the level of forbearance or patience, this will take at quickest 10 eons. So thereby we see that because of this downfall, their spiritual development is greatly delayed. And this follows them engaging in successful purification practice. So the meaning of what we're seeing here is that non-virtue accumulated or vows that can be broken, these can be purified through their appropriate means of purification, and therefore the suffering results will not have to be experienced. However, there is a residual negative impact that hinders one's spiritual development. Therefore, it is imperative that one rather avoids incurring any non-virtue and does not be deceived by the attitude of, it doesn't matter, I can purify later. This attitude is deeply mistaken. Our spiritual development will be greatly impeded. Therefore, our ability to be of benefit to others will be greatly impeded. The text continues, therefore, purification without remainder means that the production of unpleasant effects is purified without remainder. So again, one can purify broken vows, one can purify non-virtue, but in particular if one does so through the 4 opponent powers, as explained. But what one is purifying is the ripening effects. As we saw in the previous page, the strength or the way the ripening effect ripens can be greatly transformed, or it can be weakened to the extent that just nothing, there is no negative impact and no suffering impact that is experienced. So this can be done by purifying in the way guided. However, there remains a residual impact that hinders one's spiritual development. Therefore, it's important to ensure that one, it does not engage in non-virtue from the outset.
Lam Dini da gününga dukore. Dini da nambu yinne magwe bala, magwe bala pepara chawos. Nambu yinne magwe bala pepara chawos.
So therefore we are being urged here to, from the outset, to refrain from non-virtue, to have our mind free of such imprints, and not to think, it doesn't matter, I can purify later.
And this is
very clear, because if through the illustration that I gave earlier about it's better to drive and not get a puncture. Because if one, let's say, drives with the attitude of, oh, I can drive carelessly, or I use my phone while I'm driving, if I have an accident, it's not the end of the world. I can heal, I can take time off work, I can lie in hospital, I will heal, not a big deal. And the car is insured, I can replace it. That kind of attitude is hardly praiseworthy. One would not want to be a passenger in such a car.
Oh yeah, dene yinza dee chiris, dene gyumtsen dene yinza ase wole. Chisan gyumtsen dene yinza paba nam sove chiya, dikdung chamo la ya, shi shindu michu pa sung dee. Chisan paba gansa dike, da diba chung yung chigli ya, baya chik yune dene ki diba magoya liya, duk duk chin nango re ase, shi shindu michu pa sung dee ase.
Look in the text, however, since the rising of realizations of the path and so forth will be much delayed, you should try not to be tainted from the beginning. So that's been covered. Also, for that reason, it says that Arya beings do not deliberately engage even in subtle non-virtue or infractions, even for the sake of their lives.
Diba shabi daba dang, dangbo yinne diba majungwa yinle khebar meba yinne, dine ane ya dobu gongbo du joba le khebar meba yinne, ane dedar jebi, dedar jaa gobi, dedar jaa migubi chiro sidi, dedar jaa migubi suya sidi, paba namji sogi chiyan, digbi chamo to le mijiwa sung goba di gyumzen garresine, dobu ya gongbo du joba le ya, ane bardu gyunibu goba yinza, ane dine chigo rwa. Chiza dine ki shane daba dira, dine khebar meyna,
Therefore, we see that if a committed practitioner will have renounced the concerns of this life, only spiritual development matters to them. So they will not engage in negativity for the sake of some temporary pleasure or to overcome some insignificant problem. They will ensure that they live within the restraint of what is ethical. So this is then the meaning of avoid non-virtual infractions even for the sake of their lives. And furthermore, if there were no difference between purifying them through confession and they're not arising from the beginning, there would be no need to act like this. So this then is the logical conclusion of what has been presented above and the explanation given.
And
finally, in the mundane world too, if a wounded arm, leg, and so forth heals again, still it will not be the same as if it had never been wounded to begin with. This is a good example, because you possibly know from your own lived experience what you've observed, that whilst many injuries, for example, can be treated well through various medical techniques or even surgery. And one can heal from not just injuries, but also from illnesses. One doesn't always return to as new. One, there's a lost period of time with great effort and energy required to go through various treatments and eventually heal. But one does not necessarily return to the form or the state one was in prior to the injury or illness. So this, coming up to this point now, we've looked at over a number of chapters, the various trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. Now we come to the measure of that attitude having risen. So how one actually recognizes whether one has fully accomplished these trainings which are shared with a practitioner of initial capacity and has such a continuum. And then that will be followed by clearing up misconceptions about that. Therefore, now we've concluded the presentation and the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, where one starts by reflecting on this incredible opportunity that comes with this rebirth and builds on that then by recognizing, but it is impermanent. It will come to an end, and it's not only that it will end, but it could happen at any time. And when it comes to an end, all that will matter is my karmic imprints I've accumulated in this life. And where I will go to afterwards is either to fall into the lower realms, and we look then at the suffering of the lower realms, or in the higher realms. And then this is used as the motivation to go for sincere refuge, and we looked at the mind of refuge in the three jewels. And then, having got to that point, one then turns to, so what is it that I need to do to ensure I don't fall in the lower realms but attain excellent rebirths? What are the karmic, non-virtuous karmic causes to avoid and how to do so? And what are the virtuous karmic causes to cultivate? And we've looked at that, the presentation of cause and effect now, in some detail. So these are the various trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. They're not separate individual ones, but one builds on the other. And by training in all of these together, one is training in these practices that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. Knowing those trainings, having embarked in them, then we come to look at whether one has crossed over the boundary of whether one is a person with deep interest in the Dharma, but whose mind is still predominated by ordinary mundane affairs, or whether from the perspective of the Dharma, one has become a practitioner of initial capacity. So there is a boundary that one crosses over to become a practitioner of initial capacity. So here we look at whether that what that boundary is. So this is the point where each of us, we mark our own homework from the, this past couple of years to see whether we passed the exam or not. As a translator, let me rephrase that. So just like in everyday life or one's education, there's an exam where one is graded on how well one has come to learn the material, how well one's integrated the material. This is what one does here in terms of one's spiritual development, to come to recognize how well one has integrated the material or not, whether one passes the exam or not.
Ānda tsēdi kārīla nē, ngār jīgdīn dī dūnyir jīmā māyī bā yu lās, jīgdīn chīmī dūnyir gī cik jē jāngbī gōwā tsamdū jūwa dī, gōsā pui dī chīmī dūnyir zō sōng xīn, jīgdīn dī shērchūng tsamdū sōng nā gē bā yī lā, wān jān dēmbar chē gui bī dī chūng nē jāng bē dī jāngwār chā wōs.
So reading from the text, the measure of that attitude having arisen, previously you had an uncontrived interest in this life only, and your interest in future lives was just a vague understanding elicited by the words of others. Once their ranking has been switched so that future lives have become the main interest and this life nothing but a byproduct, the attitude of persons of initial capacity has developed. As this nevertheless needs to be stabilized, you should strive to train in it even after it has arisen.
Previously,
you had an uncontrived interest in this life. So this refers to a mind that is dominated by the concerns of this life, a mind that is primarily concerned with what others think about us, whether we have financial security or our financial situation, and our various enjoyment of comforts and pleasures and so forth. In other words, where what dominates our thoughts, and therefore what we speak about, what we engage in, is this life's the enjoyment of this life's pleasures and attainment of this life's pleasures, and conversation and thoughts about this life's problems and how to overcome them and having experienced them and so forth. This is what dominates us. So previously you had an uncontrived interest in this life only. and then it continues, and your interest in future lives was just a vague understand. And then our concern for future lives, this is something that just does not come about, in that unless there is specific cause that pushes us to think about it. This then is the mark of still being an ordinary person. So that then is an explanation of what would be considered someone who's not yet, from the perspective of the Dharma, a practitioner of the Dharma. But by engaging in the reflections that have been presented thus far, reflecting first on this precious human rebirth, recognizing its great potential, and then adding to that the reflections on impermanence, whereby one comes to recognize it is going to end, and that is certain, and it could happen at any time through any number of manners, any manner of means. And when it ends, all the resources that I've striven to acquire throughout my life, all the pleasurable experiences I've had, the valuable friendships and relationships I have, all of this will be left behind. And therefore, all my energy that I put into them, and it comes to nothing. All that it will take with me are my karmic imprints. And when and where am I going to take them? Well, I'm either going to go into the lower realms, or I'm going to remain in the higher realms. There's one, there are only those two directions. And what determines those directions are not the possessions I've acquired, the relationships I've developed, the physical state of my body, none of that. It's the karmic imprints I've accumulated in this life, that and that alone. Therefore, I need to engage in the accumulation of virtue. This is what matters. And together with this, I need to refrain from accumulating any further non-virtue and purify what has been accumulated. So in this way, through going through these meditations, one building on the other, one comes to recognize that our future lives are far more important than this brief life. And this then arises within oneself, not independent on hearing an inspiring teaching or reading an inspiring book, but independent on one's own reflections, and arrive spontaneously within oneself. One doesn't need to sit down and do some meditation. This is how one thinks. One does, whilst one may well enjoy the pleasures of this life, the attainment of them is not seen as particularly important. Whilst one may try to avoid the problems of this life, the avoidance of them is not seen as overly important. This then is the measure of a being of initial capacity. And the text here says, once their ranking has been switched so that future lives have become the main interest and this life nothing but a byproduct, the attitude of persons of initial capacity has developed.
In
the final sentence, as this nevertheless needs to be stabilized, you should strive to train in it even after it has arisen. So through the efforts that one has made, one should not think that is sufficient. This needs to be at the point that it's spontaneous, ever-present within oneself, in oneself, so uncontrived. In this way, we can guard against it declining, against its motivation declining. The meaning of this measure is that one's interest in future lives is what motivates what we do. It is not that one abandons going to work or that various things that we do and interactions with others. One doesn't necessarily abandon that, but rather what motivates our various activities, such as going to work and many other things we do, as well as what motivates our interactions with others, is the thought of how this is impacting our future lives. What are the karmic imprints being accumulated? This is what dominates us. This is what guides us. So therefore, what really comes to matter to one is the causes one is accumulating in relation to our future lives. And this then influences how we experience this life, how we experience this life's pleasures, how we experience this life's problems. So this here, in the middle sentence, once the ranking has been switched so that future lives have become the main interest, and this life, nothing but a byproduct. So this life's pleasures are enjoyed, but they are seen in their actual light, in a truer light. Likewise, this life's problems one tries to avoid, but they do not dominate one. What dominates one is the accumulation of causes that will lead to excellent rebirths and our ongoing spiritual development. Well, the trainings that we presented thus far, these are the trainings to develop a motivation that is common or shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. With such a motivation then, being primarily focused on future lives, not being overly concerned about this life, one then engages in the other actual practices of the Dharma. So again, these preceding chapters were about developing the motivation, and then with this motivation, one engages in acts of generosity, ethics, patience, and joyous perseverance. Then these two become trainings that are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, because one has this motivation, which is common to or shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, whilst engaging in generosity, ethics, patience, and joyous perseverance. So what really marks out this practitioner of initial capacity is this dominant focus on what is being done now in relation, or what is being experienced now, in relation to their future lives. They are not so concerned about this life's pleasures and problems. They are much more focused on what I'm doing now and the impact it will have in lives to come. That it will lead me to gain a further excellent rebirth so that I can continue my process of spiritual development. This is their focus. And these various trainings practices prior to this, are about cultivating, how to cultivate this spontaneous focus, this uncontrived focus within oneself. And thereafter, all the other virtuous activities one does will lead to the accumulation of causes that will bring about such a result. So the illustration of often used is that a car on its own goes nowhere. It requires the driver. And the driver determines whether one will go to this place or that place. So similarly, when one has developed this motivation that is shared with practitioners of initial capacity, all one's virtuous endeavors will lead to the attainment of that result. So this afternoon we'll conclude the chapter by looking up at clearing any misconceptions that arise about that. And if there are questions, then please feel free to ask. Otherwise, we can conclude there for this morning. Thank you very much.